Hi everyone, my name is Sophia. I graduated with my Bachelor of Science in Pharmacy from the University of Saskatchewan in 2020, and I am currently a PharmD for practicing pharmacist student at the University of Alberta. Today, I'd like to discuss DAPT, also known as dual antiplatelet therapy, and the paradigm shift that we may soon experience. So, to provide a refresher, for those patients undergoing PCI or stents, the duration of DAPT is still under debate. Most US, European, and Canadian guidelines, and this I'm referring to the CCS guidelines here, suggest DAPT for at least 12 months in ACS. With DAPT, patients are put on both aspirin 81 mg daily, as well as a P2Y12 inhibitor like ticagrelor or clopidogrel, for at least a year, and then ASA monotherapy thereafter. It's important to note that the introduction of second-generation and newer drug-eluting stents has decreased the incidence of stent thrombosis, and optimal medical therapy has reduced the incidence of MI unrelated to the stent. Furthermore, there is lingering concern about data suggesting increased mortality with prolonged DAPT. Overall, it is becoming increasingly important to avoid bleeding events, as mortality of bleeding events is comparable to that of an MI. The reason why I wanted to cover this topic is because of a patient case that I have encountered during my rotation at the Sturgeon Community Hospital Cardiac Care Unit, or CCU. So we had a gentleman with his second MI, and he was in his 60s, and his past medical history included obesity and diabetes, and also hemophilia, which is factor A deficiency. So this patient was being considered for PCI, and this started a discussion as to what is the best option for DAPT for him. And in clinical practice, any treatment is really a comparison of a risk and benefit. But with this patient's hemophilia and high bleed risk, that balance was shifted in a way that he was actually more likely to experience a bleed on DAPT as compared to a patient without hemophilia. While discussing patient care for this patient, it was suggested that there has been increasing amount of evidence supporting the use of short DAPT, so about 3 months, with P2Y12 monotherapy thereafter versus the ASA monotherapy that we're typically used to. And so this was really taking into consideration his risk of bleeding. And therefore, this led me to start digging deeper into the topic and take a look at the evidence. So our focused clinical question is, in a patient with high risk of bleeding undergoing PCI, is the shortened DAPT followed by P2Y12 monotherapy inferior to 12 months of DAPT followed by ASA monotherapy for adverse cardiovascular and bleeding events? With this clinical question, I started conducting my literature search. So I searched databases like PubMed, TRIP, and Medline for key terms, including P2Y12 inhibitor monotherapy, DAPT, clopidogrel, and ticagrelor. Furthermore, I have found academic articles on the role of P2Y12 inhibitor monotherapy post-DAPT and saw what trials they were referencing in order to assist me finding relevant and up-to-date information. So after conducting my literature search, the four articles that I found to be relevant to the PICO question at hand were four different trials, the Stop DAPT 2, Smart Choice, Twilight, and Global Leaders. In terms of selecting articles, it was actually a pretty tough call. All of these are fairly recent, so 2019 or later. In the end, I did want to take a look at one trial that uses clopidogrel as the P2Y12 inhibitor, which is Stop DAPT 2, and another trial that uses ticagrelor, which is Global Leaders. And of note, ticagrelor is the P2Y12 inhibitor of choice in Canada, as it is more potent than clopidogrel. Unless the patient is at high risk of bleeding or experienced adverse effects like shortness of breath or the bleeding induced by ticagrelor, in which case a step down to clopidogrel is warranted. So today I would like to discuss the Stop DAPT 2 trial as well as Global Leaders, and then at the end of the podcast, really briefly, I will touch on both Twilight and Smart Choice and what the outcomes of those trials were. Starting off with stopgap 2 trial, which was conducted by Watanabe et al. In 2019. So the goal of this trial was to evaluate 1 month DAPT compared with 12-month DAPT among patients undergoing PCI. Stopgap 2 is a randomized, multi-center, open-label trial that was adjudicator-blinded, and randomization was performed centrally through the electronic data capture system, and allocation assignment was concealed. The statistician, independent clinical event committee, steering committee, and the sponsor were blinded. 35 patients were lost to follow-up at 1 year, which is about 1.1%, and this is an acceptable rate to be lost to follow-up. A non-inferiority margin of 50% was established on the hazard ratio scale. This was determined considering the feasibility of patient enrollment and margins adopted in previous major trials. The primary endpoint was a composite of death, MI, stent thrombosis, stroke, and major and minor bleeding at 1 year. Secondary endpoints included death, MI, stent thrombosis, or stroke at 1 year, major and minor bleeding at 1 year, bleeding academic research consortium score 3 or 5 at 1 year, and definite or probable stent thrombosis. The inclusion criteria was PCI with a cobalt chromium everolimus eluting stent, which is the Xeon stents, and no plan for staged PCI. Exclusion criteria was need for oral anticoagulation and history of intracranial hemorrhage. The control and intervention groups were very similar, with only non-significant characteristic differences between the two groups. The population of the trial was just over 3,000 patients. Mean age was 68 years. 21% of the population was female, and this is fairly typical as cardiovascular disease is more prevalent in men. 39% of participants had diabetes, and 62% of participants had stable CAD. The primary outcome of death, MI, stent thrombosis, stroke, major and minor bleeding at 1 year occurred in 2.4% in the short DAPT group and 3.7% in the 12-month DAPT group. And the NNT is 76 for the primary endpoint. So in other words, 1 month of DAPT and clopidogrel monotherapy thereafter for up to 5 years is both non-inferior and superior to 12 months of DAPT followed by ASA for up to 5 years in reducing the risk of cardiovascular outcomes and bleeding after PCI. There was evidence of possible treatment interaction favoring the 12-month of DAPT among those with chronic kidney disease. However, this is a subgroup analysis and mainly hypothesis generating, so definitely something to explore in future trials, but difficult to draw any conclusions from that at the moment. For the secondary outcomes, one I'd like to highlight is the major minor bleeding at 1 year. So this outcome occurred at a rate of 0.4% in the 1 month group versus 1.5% in the 12 month group, which gives us a number needed to harm of 116. Now, moving on to some limitations of this trial. For the primary endpoint, a composite endpoint was used, and consensus has not been reached on the definition and validity of the endpoint evaluating net clinical benefit. This is also an open-label trial, so it is an inherent limitation that can introduce some bias into the study. Furthermore, majority of enrolled patients had low to intermediate ischemic risk, so there's some possibility of selective enrollment of patients with low ischemic risk, as many eligible patients were not enrolled in the study by the judgment of the attending physicians. Also worth noting, Japanese patients with CAD have lower ischemic risk compared with North American and European patients. And lastly, the study was conducted exclusively in patients who received Xeon stents, so there is some uncertainty around extrapolating data to other drug-eluting stents. The sponsor of the study was Abbott Vascular, which is a manufacturer of Xeon stents. So the sponsor was involved in discussions regarding study design, but was not involved in the conduct of the study, nor in the collection, management, analysis, and interpretation of the data. And also the sponsor was not involved in the preparation, review, or approval of the manuscript, which is generally a good sign. So overall, the bottom line of this trial is that among patients undergoing PCI, 1 month of DAPT followed by clopidogrel monotherapy compared with 12 months of DAPT with ASA and clopidogrel resulted in significantly lower rate of a composite of CV and bleeding events, meeting criteria for non-inferiority and superiority. So shorter duration of DAPT may provide benefit, although given the study limitations, additional research is needed in other populations. So now, moving on to the Global Leaders Trial. This one was done in 2019 by Valgimigli et al. And the goal of the trial was to evaluate 1 month of DAPT with aspirin and ticagrelor, followed by 23 months of ticagrelor monotherapy, and compare that to 1 year of DAPT, so aspirin plus either clopidogrel or ticagrelor, followed by 1 year of aspirin monotherapy among patients undergoing PCI with a bilimus eluting stent. Global Leaders was a randomized, open-label, multi-center superiority trial. In total, there were almost 16,000 participants, and the duration of follow-up was 24 months. The baseline characteristics were fairly balanced between groups. Mean patient age was 65 years old, 23% of participants were female, and 26% of participants had diabetes. The inclusion criteria was patients undergoing PCI with a bilimus eluting stent for stable or unstable coronary disease, and the exclusion criteria included intolerance to aspirin or ticagrelor, planned CABG, need for anticoagulation, known major bleeding, and recent stroke. So the primary outcome, all-cause mortality or non-fatal MI, occurred in 3.8% of the experimental group compared with 4.4% of the control group, and this gives us a number needed to treat of 167. Secondary outcomes included all-cause mortality, MI, and grade 3 or 5 bleeding and were all non-significant. It is worth noting that the trial sponsor is AstraZeneca, who is the maker of Brilinta or ticagrelor. Other trial sponsors include Biosensors and The Medicines Company. The study sponsors had no role in trial design, data collection, analysis or interpretation, or writing of the report, which is a good sign. Some limitations of the trial include the fact that this was an open-label trial, which has the potential to introduce bias, just like the STOP-DAP2 trial. Also, adherence in the second year of treatment was just 78% among patients randomized to ticagrelor monotherapy, while 93% of patients treated with aspirin in the conventional DAPT arm were adherent to treatment. So this has the potential to skew the results as well. One strength of the study that I'd like to highlight is the fact that all-cause mortality is a reliable endpoint that does not require adjudication. Another strength of the study was the large sample size. This study had almost 16,000 enrollees as compared to Twilight, Smart Choice, or STOP-DAP2, which all had 2,000 to 8,000 participants. Something else to consider is that this was a trial done at 130 different sites in 18 different countries. So the results may not be generalizable to the population that we have in Canada, and baseline ischemic and bleeding risks may differ among countries. Overall, among patients who underwent PCI with a bilimus eluting stent, 1 month of DAPT followed by ticagrelor monotherapy for 23 months was non-inferior but not superior to 12 months of DAPT followed by aspirin monotherapy for 12 months. The composite outcome, components of the primary outcome, and major bleeding were similar between treatment groups. Now that we have looked in depth at both STOP-DAPT2 and Global Leaders, I wanted to give you a very brief overview of the results of the other two trials I have found, Smart Choice and Twilight. Smart Choice demonstrated that short-duration DAPT, so 3 months, followed by P2Y12 inhibitor monotherapy is non-inferior to longer-duration DAPT, 12 months, among patients undergoing PCI with a drug-eluting stent. There was less bleeding in the short DAPT arm as well. Twilight showed that short duration DAPT, so 3 months, followed by ticagrelor monotherapy for 12 months results in less bleeding compared with longer duration depth, so additional 12 months, among patients undergoing PCI with a drug-eluting stent and at high ischemic or bleeding risk. Also worth noting is that in Twilight, the ischemic rates met criteria for non-inferiority. So what does this mean for clinical practice? Well, currently, the recommendations remain the same for 12 months of depth, followed by low-dose ASA monotherapy thereafter. The shortened depth with P2Y12 monotherapy may be seen in patients who have high bleeding risk, like our patient with hemophilia that I described at the beginning of this podcast. The results of these trials are fairly unlikely to influence the guidelines and practice in the next couple years. Something else to consider is that trials that are funded by stent companies tend to steer us towards the shorter depth duration, whereas trials funded by drug companies steer us towards standard or longer duration of depth. This was an interesting observation and discussion that we have had at my CCU rotation and some food for thought for you guys. So that wraps up my podcast today. I would like to thank you very much for listening. And if you do have any feedback or questions, don't hesitate to reach out to me at my email, terekhov@ualberta.ca. Thank you very much.